When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Happy Thursday, and welcome here to another edition of Husker on the Headlines. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple. Can feel spring, man. This is great outside, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, I mean, we're having, we're going to have weather talk now, like you're at Super Saver in line. Yeah, it's unseasonably warm, isn't it, Sean?
We're like overdressed right now for Husker on the Headlines, but we got a great show on tap here as we work our way through, I think, your five of the bigger headlines of the week. And I want to start here at number one, future scheduling philosophies for Nebraska. And head coach Matt Rhule has discussed this. Trev Alberts has discussed this. I know our friend and colleague Tom Chattel spoke with Matt Rhule about this as well. Just kind of their philosophy going forward on scheduling.
Yeah, Rhule's philosophy.
And, you know, Nebraska right now does have long-term non-conference series with Colorado, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State,
Tennessee,
and Arizona.
Is Cincinnati in there?
And Cincinnati, yeah, we got the El Toro Bowl coming up next year.
That'll be fun.
In 25.
Okay.
The El Toro Bowl and Lucas Oil Stadium. That's a one-off neutral site game. But, you know, could these games go away? Matt Rhule, I think, would rather play three kind of developmental games, knowing how tough the Big Ten is going to be every year.
No, that's what he told Tom. Yeah. That's what he told
Tom.
But
what do you do? Do you get out of these contracts then if you're Nebraska? Like, what is, you know, some of these contracts are far down the road.
That's the question. That's the question that a reporter, Sean Callahan, Sipple, somebody should ask Trev.
It costs money to get out of contracts, though.
Right. So how locked in are they would be a question. Sean, what, we'll just get down to it. Are you actively, Trev Alberts, seeking to get out of these games per your head coach's comments to Tom Chattel, to paraphrase Sean, Rhule said, and again, I'm paraphrasing, that with the Big Ten as tough as it is, why play a marquee Power Five opponent that could beat you up in September
and derail your season?
Could derail your season. Yeah.
In a place like this, it does derail your season.
Yeah, when it can. And so he said, like, if you're going to play Washington and Oregon, now that Washington and Oregon are aboard, along with the rest of it, why play a game, for instance, against Texas? You know, why do that? Now, there's a lot of people, Sean, that this isn't the, to me, the interesting part of the conversation is sort of a function of our age, your age, my age. And remember when Nebraska was this, we'll take on anybody anytime. We'll take on all comers anytime. Didn't it used to be like that more, at least from the players?
Yeah, the parity hadn't hit college football, though. That's the difference. You know, they had the biggest army with the most weapons and tanks back then. Now everyone's got equal armies, and there's
not everybody has equal armies.
But
our army's not, the Nebraska army's not quite like Georgia's.
That's what I'm saying, like Power Five football teams, like Iowa State was Power Five in that era, but they weren't.
Right. That's
you,
true.
Like you could roll in there right. And play a poor game and win
51-14.
You know, I mean, Osborne had one of his worst losses in his career to Jim Walton.
But it was a one-off. I mean, it was a one-off. I mean, Missouri, when Missouri had Woody Woodenhofer, I can remember those games distinctly. They would come in, and I would be sort of taken aback by how slow Missouri was compared to Nebraska. Like, there's no way they can win this game. There's just no shot.
Even like in 99, Kansas almost beat Nebraska. Newcomb ended up winning that game in Lawrence in the fourth quarter. Uh-huh. Had a couple catches and a punt return. You just kind of always knew, like, Nebraska would figure it out and win those games.
Right. So you're suggesting it's different. But Matt's comments to Tom were interesting. He's, as you know, Rhule's very transparent. So he says – he says what he's thinking. And now my question to you would be, is what Rule's saying, does it jibe with what Trev wants? Because Trev is the businessman in this conversation. Rule's not a businessman. Trev's the one who has to worry about the bottom line. He has to worry about how many people are in the stands. And sometimes, I mean, some people are going to look at it and say, hey, I don't know. Are we really going to play Furman again? You know, are we got, well, who are we playing here? You know, I mean, we're playing UTEP in Northern Iowa. Are we going to have a marquee opponent, or are those going?
Yeah, away? But what's not good is not getting the 6 wins, and they've got to build schedules to build like what Fred Hoiberg's done on Nebraska basketball.
Right.
They built a schedule to get momentum.
Absolutely. And I think now here's the thing, just so you know where I stand and where people know where I stand. I have said for some time, lighten the preseason. You're in the Big Ten. You're getting brutalized in the Big Ten. It's a tough schedule. I am basically with Rule. It's sort of a hard sell, though, to some people. Like, especially when you start backing out of contracts, if that's what they're going to do, which I don't know. I don't know that they're going to do
that. Well, if the SEC's staying at 8, and they will be for at least a year or two, yeah. You're at a disadvantage with the SEC already.
Big Ten is.
But, yeah, I think if the Big Ten is going to get guaranteed 4 playoff bids, which – if this thing expands and changes, that could happen. It doesn't even matter anymore.
What do you mean it doesn't matter anymore?
You know, like the out-of-conference games. If you know your league's going to get 4 playoff bids.
So you're saying that...
Take care of business in your league, you're going to get a playoff
bid. An SEC team could lose an early game against a non-conference Power 5 team and not worry about it.
Yeah, because if you're 4th place in the Big Ten or SEC, you're going to get in the playoff.
Right. But so Rule... Now, here's the thing. I wonder this, if Rule's tune would change, say he gets to Nebraska back to being a consistent top 10, top 5 team. I don't know if Rule's tune would change on this, but mine would. If Nebraska's back to where it's a consistent top 10 team, then I would say, if I were the coach, let's play some big time non-conference teams.
The problem is you schedule these out so far. I mean, this Tennessee game was scheduled like decades ago.
A long time.
I mean, and they've kicked the can down the road like multiple times. So what we know is Colorado's this year. The next year is the El Toro Bowl in Indianapolis.
They're playing Cincinnati
on August 30th.
Okay, that's awesome.
But they've already kind of lightened the load after that. They have Akron and Houston Christian. I mean, I consider myself an expert of college football.
Yeah.
And I had never heard of Houston Christian.
Nor have I. Now, hold on. So they play Cincinnati, Akron, and Houston Christian. Okay. Now, here's the thing. What if you said we're not playing Cincinnati, we're going to play
Northern Iowa?
Yeah. Hi. Would that go over okay?
A 3-0 is 3-0. I mean, but.
Oh, I don't know.
But Houston Christian, it reminds me of like a team that would be like in a movie. Like, you know, like there'd be like made up colleges, like Big State, yeah. You know. And
I've never heard of
Houston Christian. Houston Christian. I mean, that's kind of what they're going for. But after Houston Christian and then the Cincinnati schedule in 26.
Okay. Yeah, where
they have Ohio, and then they play Tennessee.
Okay.
And then they have North Dakota. Then in 27. They have Northern Illinois in Lincoln. Then they go to Knoxville on 9/11 on 2027. So,
and we don't know who the third opponent is.
No, third opponent not set yet.
That's enough. I mean, I would lighten it. See, if you're playing Northern Illinois and Tennessee, that third game should be a Houston Christian. Okay.
Big State.
Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble for saying stuff like that. But I am bent the way Rule is on this. Don't play Tennessee if you don't have to. Don't go to Knoxville if you don't have to. Don't do it.
2028, they play Arizona and Lincoln. They have South Dakota State on there, too.
See, sometimes those games can be a little harder.
And who knows what FCS football will look like by that point. I mean,
good point.
I mean, the Power 5 has just gone in there and robbed it. I mean, the good players are leaving to go up to Power 5.
Now, in some cases, though, some players off Power 5 rosters are going down. So
then Oklahoma in 29.
Yeah.
So that's on the schedule. And that's one of those game of the century kind of anniversary series. And then in 30, Nebraska has Oklahoma again with South Dakota State. In 31, they play Arizona in Tucson. So it's always fun to do how old you'll be in 2031.
Yeah. I don't know. That's not fun for me.
I'll be 51 in Tucson. Yeah. You might be living in Tucson by 31, and I'll come see you down there.
If I'm not, I'll be traveling up to the games from Paraguay and then going back.
2034. So they don't have any in 2032 and 33. Oklahoma State, 35 Oklahoma State. But again, if you're Matt, like, can you the average shelf life of a college football head coach right now is 4 to 6 years.
Yeah, he's not worried about 20.
Like, I don't like. So I think we're looking at Tennessee. I think that's the one.
Yeah.
The El Toro Bowl is going to happen.
Yeah. I just wonder if you would call Trev Alberts right now and say, are you still going to play this Tennessee game? What the answer would be.
This seems to be the one that would get blown up.
The answer probably would be, we're not commenting on scheduling. Because it's tricky. It's a tricky thing.
And maybe Tennessee doesn't want to play it either.
That could be.
I mean, maybe they don't want to come up here. Like, they come up here first. Like, what if they come in and it's a madhouse and they get beat by Nebraska? Like,
these are fascinating discussions because it gets to mindset. Where I'm coming from is Nebraska is still in the early stages. I'm not going to use the word building, but of becoming Matt Rule's program. And if Rule feels like right now it's not in Nebraska's best interest to line up against those sort of teams, those power five powerful programs, it makes sense. I have a feeling though his answer to Tom was more strategic, was more about the playoff. Why we don't need to do this. The Big Ten, if we're successful in the Big Ten, that will get us in the playoff.
But do you know who needs better non-conference games? There's three people.
Who?
Fox, CBS and NBC.
Yeah, they do matchups.
And guess who's paying the bill on a lot of this?
See, there you go.
Those three people.
Yeah.
And so if you told Fox, hey, or CBS or NBC, would you want to air our game with Houston Christian?
Right. No. So that's where I mean. That's where Trev is more. I mean, he's the one who has to deal with that.
Tony Petitti would be like, hey, what are you doing?
Right.
Scheduling Houston Christian four times.
That's our head coach. Well, I don't know that Rule wants that, but Houston Christian. But anyway, it's a fascinating discussion.
Yeah, we'll be in the playoff expansion too. It's right now at 12 for 2 years.
Right.
But after these 2 years are up, there's a lot of things on the table to watch.
Right.
There's already discussion to expand it to 14, and then the Big Ten and the SEC want to increase their auto bids. They would like to go to four bids. I mean, speculation is they would like a model. If there's 14 bids, four would go to each of those two leagues.
So they would get eight
of the 14.
I read that in your 3-2-1 column. That just seems almost preposterous to me.
But they can.
How can they make that stake?
Well, what if Florida State's in the Big Ten?
Well, I got it.
As the more teams,
they always want to flex. I mean, these conferences want to flex, and we want to say they got all the money and all the TV power. So I guess that's what we're talking about.
And if these leagues don't play by this, those two leagues could start their own playoff.
Yeah.
They have the leverage.
Yeah.
Like, do you think the Big 12 and the ACC, if Florida State's out of the ACC and North Carolina's out of the ACC, they have any leverage in this thing?
No, I don't. I just, what I always come down on this stuff is, and this is what I was thinking about when I was reading everything today, it's remarkably unappealing, especially for someone who once saw college football in all its glory. And now we're talking about this. Well, what if the SEC and the Big Ten just split off? I mean, wow. That's what it's.
You know who's getting the bad deal? Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So the current model,
yeah,
you have to be a conference champion to get a bye.
Yeah, they don't get a bye. They won't get a bye in their
Notre Dame game. To win a national championship will have to win four playoff games.
No bye.
Ain't happening. Yeah, it's not happening.
Oh, I don't know about that, but no bye under any circumstances.
In the current model, if Notre Dame's number one in the country, they wouldn't get a bye. They'd be a five seed because they're not a conference champion. Mm-hmm. What if the SEC and the Big Ten make it where their payout model is higher than the other leagues? Mm-hmm. If they control eight of the 14 spots, they're going to control more of the money.
Yeah,
so correct. Those teams are going to get a better payout than the other leagues. Notre Dame is going to get a lesser payout as well. How do you think Notre Dame's going to react to that?
Not well.
So will that be what finally forces Notre Dame's hand
to join a conference
If anything, I think if they joined a league, it would be the ACC.
Really?
I think it's safer for them.
They're already kind
they're already in it.
Yeah.
And look, if Florida State leaves, it's set up for them to win that thing. Like,
there you go.
And then, but if they lose out on getting a bye, I mean, that's a big deal.
I'll be interested to see how the fans comment on this future scheduling as it applies to rules comments.
As long as we get that trip to Indy next season, not in the 25 season, you're happy.
We'll take it one season at a time.
And then in Tucson, when you come up and visit me from Paraguay, that's going to be a great year for
me. To go up north for those games.
I thought you might be in Tijuana still.
No, I'm not messing with Tijuana.
All right.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Before we take it to headline number two, thank you for joining us here on the Husker Online Headline Show. Husker Online Headlines brought to you by Omaha Steaks. And right now, Omaha Steaks has the 50% off semi-annual sale. It's going on right now. Get 50% off site-wide and save on mouthwatering favorites today. Go to omahasteaks.com/huskers. Shop the semi-annual sale where you can load up on all your delicious flavor you crave for half the price. From tender, juicy butcher-cut filet mignons, mouthwatering hamburgers, comfort classics, and easy-to-prepare meals that are perfect for a busy weekday night. Plus, an added bonus, you'll get 8 free hamburgers from Omaha Steaks on select packages when you shop at omahasteaks.com/huskers. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless, endless flavor, and endless value on incredibly scrumptious sides as well. Desserts, they've got it all. 50% off right now, the semi-annual sale at Omaha Steaks. They've got a guarantee as well that you're going to love this product. Otherwise you'll get your money, unconditional money, back. Go to omahasteaks.com/huskers, get 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers with select packages. When you stop the semi-annual sale, hurry, cause the deal won't last long. That's omahasteaks.com/huskers. Okay. Let's go to headline number two. We'll talk NIL because It's a busy time of year. It's the dead period in recruiting. So coaches can't go out. You can't host recruits. So what are you doing right now? You're kind of on an NIL sales tour. And Thursday night, we're taping the show here Thursday. Nebraska is out in Phoenix for the second year in a row with the 1890 Initiative Collective. Matt Rhule, Tony White, Marcus Satterfield, they are running an NIL fundraising event out there. And the reality is, this is a big part of college football now.
It is for a lot of schools, not every school. But yeah, it's coaches go and raise money so their players can be paid, right? That's what we're talking about. 1890 puts this on, and I would say 1890 runs it with the coaches on hand because the donors' boosters want to see these coaches. It'll probably be pretty fun, right? You get to talk to the coaches and all that. But yeah, the coaches have to do this now. I imagine it's not the only function that Rhule does. And I imagine he has contact with donors and boosters. He has to, I think. It's part of the job now. Part of the job.
And, you know, last year they did the same event, and I know it was successful, but this is a big deal. I mean, as far as getting the money. And NIL is changing, though, and there's a lot in play.
Right. Go to the legislative.
And so, like, right now for NIL, you know, there's changes in play. And the biggest change is things are set up now potentially for the future where Nebraska or other Big Ten institutions and even SEC institutions.
Well, all institutions, right?
Well, the SEC and the Big Ten banded together to form that advisory group.
Okay.
Essentially, they want to make it where they are allowed to be involved in NIL and be involved in the payments and use their money. And Nebraska, as a state, passed the first bill to kind of move things in that direction. LB 1393 was introduced on February 12th.
Yep.
I was actually with State Senator John Arch this week, and we talked about the bill that they have on the desk right now. And essentially, this bill would allow Nebraska to be involved in NIL directly. Mm-hmm. Right now, they can't be involved directly, and they have to kind of keep a hands-off approach. Governor Jim Pillen, also a former Husker player, is fully behind this bill. It's going to pass. There's no doubt. I don't really see anybody that would vote against this at this point. So that's really kind of what's next. And, you know, when will this go into effect? Sometime by the summer, maybe. But how quickly can Nebraska increase their involvement? And what does that do with the collective and kind of their involvement?
Right.
You know, like, right. I still believe you have to have the collective's involvement in some way. I mean, the PEDs have given so much with this collective and the boosters involved. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think you just want to shun all that now.
I wouldn't think so. So this is what it is. LB, as you said, 1393, it would clarify that institutions in Nebraska would be able to compensate a student athlete for their name, image, or likeness if allowed by a college athletic association policy change, NCAA, a court order, or settlement agreement. Should such a policy change take place, the bill would clarify that NIL compensation of a student athlete does not inherently make an athlete an employee of the institution. That's a big part of this, because when you were talking about this would enable the institutions to pay the players, the automatic question in people's mind is, okay, so now are they employees?
It would be public record at that point if they were.
Right. But this bill stipulates that no, they would not become employees of the institution. It's all, and now this is where I'm sure some people watching, they get confused by all this. And I rightfully so. It's, do all states have a bill in their house of whatever it is like this? No, they don't. So it's a state by state thing. It does get very confusing. I understand why people are confused. This is pretty clear cut, though. The one part of this, though, that's not clear cut, this bill, and I don't even, Sean, maybe this is just, maybe they just felt like they had to include this part. But this bill defines, hold on a second. It says under this bill, universities in Nebraska, UNL, you know, is the one we're talking about, would be able to assist student athletes with their NIL endorsements through legal support and access to department resources. Is that even a thing anymore? NIL endorsements?
For Caitlin Clark's of the world, like, you know, like, let's say you had Dylan Raiola,
like, okay,
the school could directly,
okay,
you know, partner with him
and, you know, help him and pick up Misties, or,
and Dylan Raiola could have advertisements maybe in the stadium. Okay. You know, like, I think there's things that you could do,
okay,
that you're not doing now, or the school can be involved. But I wonder if they understand how many headaches are going to come with this from the institution side of it. Like, I just know, being involved covering collectives and watching things, you deal with a lot. And
yes, you do.
The general public.
So, what are you talking about?
Just people wanting more money.
And yeah,
I mean, it's like running a company. Everyone that works for you wants more money.
Oh yeah, I know. And literally, players will go to a coach or go to the collective the week, you know, Sunday or Monday after a game, and want more money.
We've seen it. I mean, yes. When we were doing interviews over the last few years, and we've popped by, I mean, there'd be guys waiting to go in the collective office.
Guys who maybe have a vet bill due or something.
Well, and a lot of times it might be a guy that, you know, they couldn't get someone to answer the phone for him, so they just have to show up in person trying to, I mean, because, you know, it's just a different deal.
It's the setup is, to say it's imperfect is understating the matter, but it's imperfect.
And NIL, though, it's not really NIL. It's more roster value.
Right.
And, you know, these players are paid a roster value through a collective contract where, you know, they do duties for the collective. NIL really is what Caitlin Clark's doing at Iowa, and what Jeff Sims did for a little bit on some of the things here, like with Amigos and Acres Equipment and those things. But you don't see much of that anymore,
because
there's a lot of liability and risk to use a college student for a business endorsement.
Sure there is. I mean, for one thing, that student athlete might underperform to a large level.
Or mess up off the field.
Or mess up off the field, yeah.
Which God is worse.
Forbid. Yeah, which is worse. But then its impact on recruiting is really fascinating. Mike Boynton, you may not recognize that name, but he's the Oklahoma State basketball coach. Really quick, he went through this soliloquy this week about how he recruited Cade Cunningham in 2020. Cade Cunningham was the number one basketball player in the country. He recruited him the old-fashioned way, just got to know him, spent four years getting to know him, and beat Kansas and beat North Carolina for the services of Cade Cunningham. Well, what Boynton said this week is, I wouldn't even try to do that now, because somebody would just say, hey, just I'll pay you $500,000. Just come to our campus for 9 months. That's recruiting now. I think that we used to talk about how valuable it can be to a program to have a great recruiter or a set of great recruiters. That's no longer as important. It's not.
Well, and you heard Adam. Did you hear what Adam Silver said this week about how NIL has affected the NBA?
No.
So essentially, because the NIL money is so great for these top players to go to college, the G League and the developmental league of the NBA can't keep up with the money.
It's suffered probably.
And they've taken a hit because of NIL. And he said it's causing us to rethink the G League model because they're not getting the players.
Some of the players. I mean, I can think of individual players, the center at North Carolina, for instance, that stayed in school and is probably making much more than he'd ever make in a G League. I mean, so yeah, I totally understand. I never even thought of that till right now.
Well, and the NBA only has two rounds in the draft. I mean, right. So it's a huge risk to go pro.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of it's not, and not as much of it, of the talent's coming out of colleges anymore. It's coming from overseas. I mean, if you look at the draft, look at how many players are coming from overseas now. Wow, I never even thought about the G League the ramifications NIL would have on the G League.
So to give you an idea, the G League was a major factor because they could sign, they were signing high school players. Like yeah. Bryce McGowan's told me in this very office a couple years ago, NIL just started, and you know he didn't make near what he'd make now.
Right.
But he said, Sean, if the G League would have offered me a contract at a high school, I would have taken that.
Really?
He didn't have that offer.
Really?
Had to go to Nebraska for a year.
It's so different.
But now the G League is chopped liver. I mean, mm-hmm. The G League can't compete against Kansas money and North Carolina money and
a lot of money. Yeah, a lot of places. We could just keep going. I mean,
do G League players even make $100,000?
I don't know what they make, so I don't want to go there.
Yeah, I'm a fill time here. I want to Google this real fast.
Fill time. That's what I do.
Fill time here.
That's what I do.
Pick it up. Like are you a little down today?
Am I a little? No, I'm not a little down today.
It's kind of like a 7 version of Steve Sipple. I want the 10 version.
I don't know.
G League players right now only make like $40,000.
Oh, God. Yeah. No. So, I mean, come on, guys. I'll pick it up a little bit. If you're staying... I wish I could think of the guy's name that stayed at North Carolina. He's the center. He played in the national title game last year, and it was curious to me why he stayed in school. But then it's really not so curious because he's probably getting paid $1 million.
So like, just I can tell you this confidently: Josiah Alec makes more money than a G League player.
Oh God, really?
Yeah, he does. Really? I mean, all of the transfers they brought in pretty much make $100,000. That's just my feel and what I know from what on the NIL. Now G League guys making $40,000.
Yeah.
So Adam Silver's right. They can't
100%
like right. They're not going to compete against that.
Well, you're certainly not going to get as good a player in the G League right now. I mean, unless something changes. But and by the way, I am bringing it at more than a 7 level. Let's make that very clear.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, what's next? All right, let's next headline.
The headline.
I'll pick it up a little bit.
Number 3. Nebraska basketball gets a win on the road. The Huskers go into Bloomington. They get the sweep, Steve Sipple, the double sweep over Indiana, 85-70. And, you know, imagine being like an Indiana fan or an Indiana media member to just stomach that Nebraska basketball swept you.
I wonder, I think they're having a harder time stomaching the effort level that their team shows. I'm not taking away from Nebraska at all. But Indiana, Mike Woodson has trouble at Indiana.
They have material. They don't have guards, though. They couldn't hit shots. They missed free throws.
And the effort was bad. Oh, there, yeah. The free throw shooting thing really is not a good look. I don't know. I hope I can verbalize this right. They're a 66% free throw shooting team on the season, Indiana. Last night, they were terrible. And I just, for the state of Indiana, which is a basketball haven, I just guarantee they don't tolerate that very well. I mean, there's eighth grade junior high teams that shoot much better than 66% from the line. So anyway, Nebraska is in a very strong, I'd say a very strong position in my opinion, with four games left. Robin put it really well earlier this week. Nebraska would have to play itself out of the NCAA tournament at this point. I don't see that happening. I was interested in reading your 3-2-1 column that you say, I think you said it's most likely that they would go 2-2 down the stretch, maybe 3-1.
2-2 is a given. I feel like 3-1 could happen. 4-0. I mean, 4-0 could easily happen.
Yeah, 2-2 is a given. 3-1 seems very likely, or 4-0 pretty likely to me. Nebraska right now, in my opinion, is really dangerous. They're a dangerous team. They were dangerous even when they lost at Illinois. Even losing at Northwestern, I still thought they were dangerous. Now they've won 3 in a row. They've won by 20. They've won against Michigan. They won by 19 against Penn State. They won by 15 against Indiana on the road. Now you're seeing what I was saying, even when they were losing to Northwestern and Illinois. They're dangerous.
If Nebraska finishes 12-8 or 13-7 in the Big Ten, 13-7 be winning out. 12-8 is 3-1. Fred Hoiberg might be the Big Ten coach of the year.
It would either be Hoiberg or Collins or Painter.
I don't know. Why Collins?
Why not?
I mean, their net
better record than Nebraska.
Their net is like 58.
It'd be Painter, Collins, or Hoiberg.
I have a hard time thinking that Collins is going to get it.
Really?
I mean,
they were in the NCAA tournament.
They're one game better than Nebraska right now. I mean,
yeah. And they're split. So, yeah, they split. So, you know, you're probably in bounds there. I just think it'd be one of those.
But if Hoiberg finishes 12-8, he's going to get some momentum for Coach of the Year in the Big Ten.
Yeah, he's got some momentum right now. Again, though, you're right. If they win 0-4, he's not going to get Coach of the Year. But
Tominaga, the way he's playing too, I was asking Robin, like, will he get some first team? I mean, he's going to be a second teamer, I think, for sure. But will he get some first team votes?
I don't know. I was interested that the analyst working with Kevin Kugler last night at one point said that Casey's the best player on the floor. He stated it as fact. And I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? He's right. Casey's the best player on the floor. He's the best player out there. Like, that's fascinating to me because there's a 7-footer out there. There's 6'10 guys out there. Little Casey's the best player on the floor, but he is.
That spurt he had in the first half.
Jeez, he was
unconscious. I mean, in the history of Assembly Hall, how many road teams have a little guard that could do that in that place?
I don't know.
I mean, that was that step back in the corner. That was ridiculous. I mean, if you're Indiana, you just throw your hands up. Like, what do you do?
Oh, it's hard. He's hard to deal with. I watch it really close. They tried to put that freshman guard
Gabe
on.
Cups.
He couldn't hang with him.
Gabe Cups finished the game 0-6. No points. You know, Casey, the only saving grace for Gabe Cups is he had no turnovers.
Yeah, he couldn't guard Casey.
But Trey Galloway, the other guard, had 6 turnovers.
They had to take Cups off of Casey. He couldn't deal with him. So teams face guard him the whole court, and he still gets open. He's a master at it. He's become a master without the ball. That's the thing about Casey. All you can do is tip your cap to him at this point, because he's getting heavy defensive pressure. He's getting a lot of, I mean, they're allowing a lot of contact on him. And he still shakes free. still gets himself free. Also credit Fred, because Fred, I have been the most critical in this market of Fred probably, but the one thing I never criticize about Fred is his ability to get shooters open. He gets them open.
Well, and just Casey's from Japan, obviously, and just the way Japanese athletes, baseball, and now Casey in basketball, the way they learn the fundamentals of the game. Like, you see it in baseball, how fundamental Japanese baseball players are, like Ichiro.
It's funny you say that. I agree with you, except Bruce Weber said something last night. Fascinating. You know, he's the former Kansas State coach who's on the he's a BTN analyst. I hope I got his first name right, Bruce Weber. Yeah, Bruce Weber, former Kansas State coach.
Former Illinois head coach, too.
And Illinois, you're right. He said, if I'm camping with young kids, I am not showing him what Casey does, because he does a lot of stuff wrong. Shoots with his body not square to the basket, all different angles. I wouldn't show him what Casey does, but he can score. He can score.
But when his arm and his wrist gets like around the rim, he knows how to angle the ball.
Yes, he does.
To get in the basket.
Oh yeah, he uses his body exceptionally well.
How many times have you seen his shot get swatted? Very rarely.
Not very often. He uses his body really well, and he has to be in supreme shape because he never stops moving. He has to work really hard to keep himself in condition because he never stops moving.
That's why a tournament game intrigues me, because they're going to play a team that doesn't know how to play him.
Right. Now, right. No, 100%. Now, there's film that can...
Yeah, I mean, but Big Ten teams know him.
Yeah. No, you're right. Nebraska's scary because it's not just Casey, because Bryce Williams can beat you, because Rink can beat you.
If they play like last night, they can win it. They can beat anybody.
Right. We've seen that. We've seen that during this stretch, particularly against Michigan in the first, what would you say, 15 minutes against Michigan, when Nebraska led Michigan 43-13. I mean, you can say what you want about how bad Michigan is. They're still a Power 5 team, and Nebraska led them 43-13. No, Nebraska is scary because of their prowess on offense. And now they're playing pretty good defense at times, too.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
All right, let's take things to headline number 4. Second leg of the in-state tour will take place on Sunday. We'll be in Lincoln this week, Steve Sipple, at the Chris Slatt training facility, where we were at Steve Warren's place the week before. Got another good lineup of teams lined up, and you first time you've been a part of this, but we do our best to kind of move through as many of the top players and coaches efficiently,
right,
to get accurate measurements, pictures.
Yeah, people are wondering what it is.
It's a media day, essentially.
Yeah, so the high school teams bring their handful of their best players. The coach comes. It's an interview opportunity. For instance, Jackson Carpenter will be there. The kid from Wahoo, Booth. Connor Booth will be there. I'm interested in both those guys. It's really a tremendous service for the high schools. I mean, it gets a lot of the word out about the teams. It obviously helps us a ton.
Yeah, and we'll get the teams I've got coming in this week.
How many?
I think 14. Lincoln Southeast. Lincoln Pius as a player, Lincoln East, Lincoln South, Lincoln Southwest, Wahoo Newman, Waverly, Norris, Ashland Greenwood, Stanton, Nebraska. They have a lineman to keep tabs on. Bennington will be here, Lincoln North Star, Fremont, Blair, and Lincoln Northeast. So, you know, last week was kind of your big Omaha one, and we had 113 people come through it.
Yeah, and so people wonder, who are we talking about? Well, we're talking about Tyson Terry. We're talking about Caden Vermoss. We're talking about the coach at Millard South, Ty Wisdom, who has a team that's absolutely loaded, and he'll take that team to Arizona to start the season. I mean, if you didn't take away anything from last weekend, if you're just going to take away one thing from last weekend, Millard South's the team to beat. They're loaded. Millard South is loaded,
and they know it too. You can just sense it. But like, they walked in there, and I mean, they moved the room.
Yeah, Ty Wisdom is a sort of, he carries himself with a lot of confidence, and it really makes an impression on you. Millard South is the team to watch this year.
And they've got some, they've ruffled feathers a little bit. They got some big name transfers to come in their program.
Isn't that funny the way you say that? It's just like college. They got some big name transfers, like Jamal Banks, like, you know, Isaiah Nayor.
Look, I've grown up in Omaha, and I know how recruiting in the town has worked. I don't think it's ever been where it's at right now.
Yeah, it was an eye-opening thing for me to be there on Sunday in Omaha and get an idea of that situation. Like to hear Mark McLaughlin of Platteview talk about his tight end, Ryman
Zebert.
Yeah. And tell me, I'm just glad he stayed here. And you would say, okay, Babe in the Woods, don't you understand where he's come from? I needed him to explain that. Like, what do you mean? Well, I mean, there's a handful of coaches in the Metro that tried to get him, you know, for their team. Oh, really? Really? And he stayed with us, and that indicates trust. He appreciated that tight end who's being pursued by Miami, Florida University, Wisconsin, Nebraska, 18 teams have visited Platteview, that he thought enough about Mark McLaughlin and his staff and that team to stay with them.
Well, and here's the deal. Like, by the time he takes a snap of football as a senior, his recruiting process will be over.
Yeah.
Everything's going to happen for Zebert.
Pre-clean.
From March to July, he'll take his recruiting trips, yep. You know, go around and meet schools. Coaches will come back on the road. More than likely, Zebert will be committed somewhere by July 4th.
Oh, wow.
So at that point, what's it matter where you play?
Right. That's a good point. But boy, but you've put into perspective how quickly this is going to move forward.
Right. I mean,
it's February 22nd.
So what we do at the in-state tour is we try to get ahead of that.
Right.
We run on the dead period,
yeah.
And we kind of set the table.
Right.
For what the next run's going to be. And, mm-hmm. You know, Nebraska's made 8 offers already in the state for 25 alone. So it's, and this week, you know, like you mentioned, there's going to be the 2 Husker offer guys there, Jackson Carpenter, Connor Booth. I think what will come out of this tour is we're going to learn about 2 or 3 or 4, maybe new names to watch.
Okay. Okay.
And they might be younger names.
Okay.
But that has always been what the in-state tour has been for me. Like, I'm okay when the coaches bring the young guys.
Okay.
Because I mean, it's more work to see more players through, but I want to get a jump on the names.
Yeah. And so you tell them to bring your best players.
And I want to enter in the data myself, even though it's time consuming, because I want to learn every name. Mm-hmm. It's like a computer. You program every name in mm-hmm. to our system, and I'll never forget them at that point. So yep. I enjoy, even though it's tedious, to build the pages and learn the players. Then by the time the season rolls around, you're ready to go.
Well, just tell Kit and Carly that you need some time. You need some office.
It's been
time.
A rough week. I mean, I spoke all over the state this week.
Yeah, you need to hand off some sick. Of those to me and Rob. Joking. But yeah, you need some time in your office by yourself.
I need like 2 days of just leave me alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And they're coming.
Yeah. Good.
So we'll get, but I'm looking forward.
That's Sunday.
And then I'm going to go right to the hoops game. So
yeah, it's Nebraska plays Minnesota at 5:30.
So we run the teams through from like 10 to 3. And then I'll go right to hoops.
5:30. 5:30. Tip off.
That's going to be nuts, by the way.
Yeah.
Already sold out. All right. Final headline. And we're going to have some fun because we talked about scheduling and playoffs and things kind of changing over the years.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Headline 5. Going to go fun here with you, Steve Sipple, in the offseason. Your favorite Husker bowl game memory, and I want to say games you've covered, not games you watched on TV. So, you know, naturally you'd be like, oh, the Johnny Rogers game of the century or something. No, games that you were a part of, the bowl coverage week.
You go ahead first.
All right. Well, I got 2.
Can we both have 2?
And my 2.
You go ahead.
My 2 that really, for me, the 01 Rose Bowl, which was the 02 Rose Bowl in the 01 season, just because at that time, I mean, it was the pinnacle. I mean, Nebraska was in the national championship game. They had a year that season. They played Oklahoma,
yeah,
and Notre Dame.
That's right.
In Lincoln.
That's right.
Both were college game day games.
They played Oklahoma and Notre Dame in Lincoln
on college game day.
And Oklahoma was ranked what?
Yeah, it was like a 1-2 or a 2-3. It was like
something like that. Yeah,
it was basically a 1-2 game. But that season, that game, and I don't know. Like, it was a reality check though of how fast the table turned on Nebraska once college football had changed to kind of this pro recruiting influence. And I credit Miami with what they did on that team with Butch Davis and then Pete Carroll when they came into college football.
Yeah.
They changed college football to more of a pro kind of draft approach, development approach.
That was Butch Davis's recruits, but that was Larry Coker's
team.
Yeah. Coker was the coach, but Butch Davis put it
together. They recruited and built that Miami team like a pro team. And then Pete Carroll did that at USC.
Uh-huh.
And then Nick Saban started doing that at Alabama. Yeah. And that was different than how Nebraska had won. They didn't build teams that way. And it was a reality check that week. But just that game itself and seeing, 65,000 Nebraska fans in Pasadena.
Yeah.
It was 65,000 fans.
I know. And it's as gorgeous as it's cracked up to be. And people don't want to hear us talk too much about that because you hear that all the time. But it is. I mean, you hear it all the time because Pasadena is gorgeous.
So and that
setting is gorgeous.
This would have been. God, what year would this have been? 2019 in the summer. We were on the satellite camp trips.
Yeah.
It might have been 2021, 2019. We were at FIU. Butch Davis was coaching FIU.
Okay.
And didn't really talk to Butch. He wasn't real friendly.
He wasn't?
No. But
he was at FIU.
He was the head coach.
Yeah. And that's probably wasn't overly friendly.
Ken Dorsey was in between jobs, and he was like essentially the facilities AD for FIU. He's taking us around, showing us stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, this is freaking Ken Dorsey. I said, Ken, I don't know if you know how much pain you put on Nebraska. Like, that game was
pretty painful. It was over at halftime.
Yeah, and it was, but the number of media that were there too, like for me as a young reporter, it was eye-opening just because that was a time where all the national media would travel.
Oh, yeah. It was way different.
Way different.
Yeah. What's your other one?
My other one was the 05 Alamo Bowl against Michigan.
Oh, interesting one. Why do you pick that one?
Because it was a lot of fun. And it was honestly a game Nebraska really had no business winning in terms of talent. Michigan was far superior. But you give Bill Callahan and Zach Taylor a lot of credit. They figured out a way to scheme Michigan and beat them. And, they kind of warmed down to speed and Taylor took a beating that game and just Zach. The way that game ended.
Do you remember how the game ended?
Yeah. Zach Bowman and Titus Brothers ran that guy out of bounds.
After they were doing lateral after lateral, Michigan lateral, lateral, lateral. It was one of those deals at the end where you're like, oh, wait a second. Are they going to get this to the end zone? Remember that?
And Herb Street and Mike Tirico were the announcers.
Yep.
With Aaron Andrews. I mean,
you liked going to San Antonio, right? You liked the Riverwalk. Is that what you're trying to get to here? You liked the Riverwalk.
The Riverwalk was always a good time.
We're super fun. It's beautiful. I mean,
Nebraska fans, like, that was peak Nebraska fan. Like, San Antonio, Riverwalk, I mean, they would take that place over.
Any Alamo Bowl was beautiful. Any of those was beautiful.
I hope with the reshuffling of bowl games, somehow the Big Ten gets back with the Alamo Bowl. But I fear that the SEC will just take it.
Great.
Because Oklahoma, A&M,
Missouri,
Arkansas,
Texas. Makes sense.
Like, they're the natural.
Yeah. That sucks. That sucks because it was fun going down.
So you could have an SEC Big 12 Alamo Bowl.
Those trips were fun. The Alamo Bowl is a fun bowl for fans because there's so much to do. And it's so nice.
And there's lots of hotels.
And it's nice out. It's nice out. You're wearing shorts. Okay, my two favorite, it's pretty clear, distinct differences. I mean, I'm not going to belabor the point too much of why the 96 Fiesta Bowl after the 95 season is my favorite.
Versus Florida.
And it's partially, without going down memory lane, it was my first bowl that I covered. So it was that, but it was more than that. They won, obviously, but it was fun. Because I covered the Florida team a lot. I mean, I was kind of the Florida beat guy for the Journal Star. So I got to know Spurrier. And it was fun getting to know Spurrier, going over to the practice. He'd make fun of me. It was that was sort of fun.
Stoops is on that staff, right?
Or was Stoops was a DC. If I'm Bob Stoops was the DC, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's the case. But anyway, the other thing that I'll always remember was calling back to our desk, Sean. This is Carl Vogel, if you're watching, he'll verify this.
Kegler.
I'd call back and say, hey, this is not going to be a game. And they'd be like, you're crazy. I was like, no, this is not going to be a game. Here's why. I'd say it. I'd go to those press conferences, and they'd bring in a linebacker that was like 6'1", 215. Then they'd bring in a nose tackle that was weighed 260. And I said, this is not going to work. They don't have the size that can handle Nebraska's physicality up front. They can't. They're not going to be able to do it. I said, Nebraska will blow them out, which sounds really pathetic for me to say now after they won 62-24. But I knew Nebraska was going to win that game because they just were so much bigger and more physical.
And Bob Stoops didn't join the staff till the next year.
Next year. Thank you. Then the other one, and you're going to scoff, but I always say it, it's the Independence Bowl. Here's why.
I knew you were going to say that.
Here's why, though. There's a reason. There's a good reason, actually. It was novel. It was a bowl. So I got used to going to these very nice bowl game trips where you're in, like when you went to, well, you referenced the 2001 Rose Bowl. I was in L.A. for 13 days. I was in Scottsdale for that Fiesta Bowl for 14 days. And you stay at these beautiful hotels, and it's gorgeous. Everything's taken care of. You don't worry about a thing. Well, then all of a sudden, now you're in Shreveport. You're in freaking Shreveport, and you're at a kind of a so-so hotel.
Why are you whispering?
And you go up to the stadium for the first practice as a beat writer, and players come out and thank you for being there. Jamal Lord, TJ Hollowell, and Darren Diedrich greeted me and Rich Kuypust and said, hey, we appreciate you guys coming. Because they probably thought, as they were lifting these little weights in a little part of this little stadium, I don't even know if we're getting media coverage, but they did. And they, I'll never forget Jamal Lord, TJ Hollowell, and Darren Diedrich coming out and thanking us for showing.
You want to hear my Independence Bowl story that year?
Yes.
I went, and I didn't cover the week.
This was 2002.
I covered the game and got down there early. I went with a friend, but, I rode down with Vershawn Jackson rode down with us. And he had kind of,
why did he do that?
Well, he wanted to go.
Yeah.
And we were doing radio stuff back then at 1620.
When he was no longer on the team.
No, he's done. Yeah. And he was tight with guys on the team back then. And he had kind of like his car wasn't a car you'd take on the road trip. Kind of, it had the rims and stuff.
Right.
And he came and met me at my mom's house in South Omaha, and he parked. Like, we had to park the car in my mom's garage.
Oh, nice. He must have had a nice car.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's like, so my mom let him park it in the garage. We drove down. Vershawn was with me. And
who else?
A guy named Elliot.
A guy named Elliot.
I went to college with. And
yeah.
It was like the three of us drove down to Shreveport together.
Yeah. And it wasn't a good, I mean, the game wasn't good. Nebraska lost.
Oh, they should have won. That was the, like, they misread the signal on that fake punt.
I'm not saying the guy who threw it, but he made a decision on his own to throw it.
He audibled to a fake, and it wasn't there.
Right. He audibled. Yeah.
Like
he airmailed it. He airmailed the pass. Like,
he had the ability to make a check, and it's like one of those things, I'm guessing, you never make the check.
He made the check. And then, if I'm not mistaken, he airmailed the pass. He threw a pass too high. So, yeah, I remember the guy I was working with, one of the guys, Kurt McKeever, said, we got to get to the bottom of this. And Kurt got to the bottom of it. It was a check. It was an audible.
Yeah, it wasn't called by the head coach.
No. And it hurt him.
Well, the other thing about that game was that was Steve Peterson's first day on the job.
It was.
And if you remember, he was up in that press box.
Yeah.
In Shreveport.
I mean, we're in Shreveport at this stadium after, see, what I was getting at is, what were we the year before? We were in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl. So it was such a profound difference.
Going to Lakers games and Lowry's prime rib.
Yeah.
To like the highlighted trip for the players of the Independence Bowl was a tour of an Air Force base.
Yeah, and I didn't even do that. But it was just so much different than what I had been used to. All these big time bowls. And now you're at this little, it's a little stadium.
Did you finally part ways with the luggage they gave us?
I did that, but they gave us that bag.
A garment bag.
A leather garment bag that I had for years.
Oh, I mean, it was kind of like you were traveling with that thing for 20 years.
Right. It was beautiful. Black garment leather bag. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. I remember that. I remember that trip fondly. It was fun. Shreveport was interesting. That's an interesting town.
What freaked me out about Shreveport, because I had never been to Mardi Gras or any of that stuff, but how you could just like drink on the street out there.
You could drink guys would have a full can of Bud. Yeah.
It was open container.
Yeah, open container. Yeah.
And then the casino element was big. And in that era, casinos weren't everywhere. And I remember Josh Brown, the former NFL kicker, he won like thousands of dollars on the craps tables.
Why am I not surprised at all on that one? Yeah, that again, it wasn't the game wasn't particularly memorable. It was a Manning,
Archie was there.
Yeah, Archie and come on, help me. So it wasn't
Eli.
Eli Manning was a QB. So I don't know. It wasn't that. It was such a. I guess it was because the pressure wasn't great. I remember the first day I was there, though, is when, correct me if I'm wrong on this, that's when they hired Pelini. I mean, it wasn't official, but it was basically official.
Archie was extremely.
Is that right? That would have been right. I think was Pelini came into the picture at that
after
time.
After the NFL season, right?
Yeah. So that
the
I remember,
the bowl game would have been before the NFL season.
Well,
I don't think they hired Bo until the Packers were done.
But his name had surfaced.
Oh, and I was thinking Bo's name didn't come out till more January.
No, it surfaced.
December?
Yeah, it surfaced. Because I can remember being
down. Because the coach's clinic in January is when the hires got made.
I can remember being down in a cramped hotel room, kind of half pissed that I'm writing about Bo Pelini at this bowl game.
But yeah, you're right. Because when I talked to Barney Cotton this summer for the book.
For your book.
Barney said that Bo interviewed him at the coaches convention. That's the first time they had met.
So that was early January.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So I know that's the way it went down. This was for defensive coordinator though. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This wasn't Bo becoming the head coach. This was 02.
After he had parted ways with Craig Bull.
Yes. After Frank had parted ways with And Bo's name quickly surfaced.
And the connection there was Monty Kiffin. Frank called Monty. Monty called Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll recommended Bo Pelini. And then that's how the circle began.
Right. And I'm telling you, by the time Nebraska got to Shreveport to begin preparations, it was all but done, if not done, that Pelini was going to be the defensive coordinator. True story.
So a lot came out of that trip to Shreveport.
Those bowl trips were always very busy.
Well, and a lot of people, what people don't understand about a bowl trip is, and we haven't been on one in a long time, but a lot of people come around.
Yeah.
Like you come to practice and you run into former players that you hadn't seen in a long time. I remember one year we're in Jacksonville and Rich Glover's at practice.
Right. There's a lot of that. It's just, we haven't done it in so long and it's sort of disconcerting. Those bowl trips were great. They're great for the program.
They used to run like high school coaches clinics at the bowl practice. Remember that? All those coaches would come.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great. I don't know. I hate to say this, but it's kind of a different time now.
Yeah, I mean, it won't be that way when they go back. It probably won't.
No,
it won't. Like, remember the Best Buy shopping sprees that they'd go on these bowl trips?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, does that even matter when you're getting NIL?
No.
Like, how excited those kids were to have $500 to spend at Best Buy?
Yeah. The swag. Yeah, the swag was a big part of it. Not now. It won't be.
Yeah, I don't even know if people do that bowl gift story anymore. Remember, they used to always like.
Yes, that was part of it.
But no, like.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like this year, I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's a thing anymore.
The bowl gift, NIL.
Yeah.
But all right. Well, we really.
We're just two old guys reminiscing.
We just kind of went old guy on headlines here. But that's a fun way to talk in the offseason here. I enjoy doing that.
I do too. We'll do more of that. We'll do more of that.
All right. Well, if you're not a member of Husker Online, we got a great deal. Great time to get on here as we gear up for spring practice, NCAA basketball, baseball, everything going on. Try us out for 2 months for $1. Simply use promo code NU1 to try out Husker Online. 2 months for $1. Signing off here for another edition of Husker Online Headlines. For Steve Sipple, I'm Sean Callahan.